Well, hello and good evening to everyone tuning in. I hope you're having a fantastic Sunday evening. It is now 8 p.m. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM here in beautiful Kingston, Ontario, or CFRC.ca if you're tuning in from anywhere else in the world. My name is Rue, and it is now time for an hour and a half of The Yellow Brick Road, CFRC's British and Irish music show. It has been a busy week in music and music news in the UK and worldwide, of course. I think even as a show on UK and Irish music, we have to start off by talking a little bit about Brian Wilson because of the very sad news that the legendary pop music writer and Beach Boy passed away this week. He was, you know, the guy that basically popularized vocal harmonies in pop and pop music, popular music, was one of the biggest influences on everybody from the Beatles, who said that the Beach Boys were one of the primary influences on Sgt. Pepper. And in fact, Paul McCartney posted on his Instagram when he heard the news that Brian had this mysterious sense of musical genius that made his songs so achingly special. The notes he heard in his head and passed on to us were simple and brilliant at the same time. And he says, "How we will continue without Brian Wilson, God only knows. Thank you, Brian," is what Paul says. So everyone from the Beatles to now Fontaine's DC, you know, every artist that has gone on to do those sort of harmonies has thought about albums like Pet Sounds. And, you know, I know that shows on our station are going to be wall-to-wall filled with tributes to Brian Wilson. And one of the main reasons why I'm not playing something on my show tonight is because if you hang on for the next hour and a half, I know that Weave has something planned for you from 9:30, so stick with me. In other music news, the Irish band Kneecap's all-important court case about freedom of speech is next week, even as the band continues to play sold-out shows and headlining festivals. And, you know, we've had new albums, singles, releases, and as the sun's beginning to come out, festival season is truly reaching us here in Canada. Of course, Kingston this Saturday had YGK Beer Fest with a lot of our favourite local artists playing sets out on Fort Henry, but also in Toronto. Here, one of Canada's biggest music showcase festivals took place, now in its 30th year, North by Northeast, that takes place in downtown Toronto every year, featuring almost 300 artists this year between Wednesday and tonight's Sunday. Now, last year, you might remember that we had some of the UK-based artists that were playing this festival. They joined us on the show. Welsh hard rock duo Alpha, the London psychedelic band Paisley Days, and Cardiff pop musician Don't Make This Weird had joined us on the show. And you can still find those interviews and those shows if you look back for the Yellow Brick Road podcasted version. So just Google Yellow Brick Road and you should find that. But if last year I could only make it for 2 days, because of course I lived in Kingston, it's expensive to come down and stay in Toronto for a little while. This year, because I live in Toronto now, I was able to attend way more of the festival, you know? So on tonight's show, we're doing a North by Northeast special. We've got interviews and music featuring many of the artists who played the festival, some of whom are British and Irish, and others who are Canadian artists, and others from further afield. So it'll be quite a different show from our regular programming, but I hope you enjoy the new music and our guests, and of course, regular programming from next week. If you've got something to say to the show, reach out, email, or on Instagram. The handle on Instagram is yellowbrickroad, or send an email to yellowbrickroad@gmail.com. My bed music for this week actually is also North by Northeast related, so that's the first of what you're going to be hearing. This is the self-titled debut album by a London, Ontario-based artist called Juice Joint, who also played at North by Northeast. Their album came out last year. They played at the Garrison on Friday night, and they usually have a huge collective of musicians that bring this party to the stage. Away from home, understandably, they were only a four-piece, but my God, they were excellent. Their sax player had only recently joined the band, but you'd think he'd have been in there forever. They were fun and effortless, and I really recommend checking them out if you're ever in London, Ontario. I get the feeling that their shows at home are just these great celebrations of music and parties. You can find them on Bandcamp at juicejointband.bandcamp.com. And another thing about North by Northeast, the festival, of course, is that you're not going to be able to get everywhere. So, unfortunately, one of the shows and venues that I wasn't able to get to was to see an artist called Nadia Sheikh, who was playing. She's a British and Spanish alternative musician. I wasn't able to go out and watch her performing on Friday, but I have been working with a station in Toronto called Indie 88, and I was helping out at their booth that they were broadcasting live at the festival from, and we ran into George and Rowan, who play drums and bass in her band. So I'm going to start off this week by playing us a recent single that she and her band have released called How to Lose a Friend. You can find her at Nadia Sheikh, spelled S-H-E-I-K-H kitchener.bandcamp.com. And then we'll be joined on the show by a Kitchener-based alternative band called Red Output, who were the headlines on Wednesday night at the Horseshoe Tavern. And they're going to tell us all about that show and what's going on in their world. Find them at redoutput.bandcamp.com. We'll listen to their song Rafters. Let's start off with Nadia Sheikh. This is How to Lose a Friend.
Never thought it would happen to me. And quite honestly, it's hard to believe. Did I waste your time? Walking down the street in the wrong direction. Myself that it would be alright. I read between the lines, and now you keep ignoring all my calls. My back's against the wall. I hope you're fine, and it's not out of spite. Kept on fighting the anticipation. Now we're walking down the street and we are.
Awesome. Well, I'm Rue. I'm here with CFRC Radio, and Red Output, three of Red Output, are joining me here. Guys, hello and introduce yourselves.
Hello, I'm Brent from Red Output.
I'm Thomas from Red Output.
I'm Ryan from Red Output, but you can call me Reno.
Well, good start. Yeah.
Love that. And for people who've never heard your music before, how would you describe the vibe?
We play a lot of fast and very energetic stuff that... you know, it has a lot of dancey stuff going on, but we're also recording some lower energy stuff that's a little bit more emotional.
But you guys are here tonight, very iconic venue. You're playing as part of North by Northeast at Horseshoe. How is it being in here? Have you played here before? You probably have.
We have, yeah. We played here 2 years ago, almost exactly 2 years ago, but it definitely feels different tonight. Mm-hmm. A lot more people here, different environment.
Yeah, it's really special to just feel the energy of the festival. It seems like people are really excited about all the different bands that are playing, so it's super, we're just super grateful to be part of that.
Yeah. And is there anyone over here that you are very excited to see?
We're really excited to see the Young Scones play right before us, so they're coming up soon.
Yeah.
Apparently they're a lot of fun.
And In Your Walls, they played two bands ago, and they were really excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to In Your Walls.
Yeah, good band. We just had them for an interview earlier today.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So you guys are working on new music as well, aren't you?
Yeah. We're going to Sugar Shack in London on the 22nd of June to record a song that might be called Mud Wit Burrs. And it's the best Red Output song that's ever existed. And it'll be hard to top it after we record it, probably.
And that's the sort of song that will make your booty shake.
Yeah, yeah. Put your dancing pants on for that one.
Yeah, you don't even have to have that much meat to move in the behind area, because it'll shake you up for sure.
Well, I like how much emphasis there is on dance music, because, like, you guys are clearly a rock band, and I've heard your previous stuff. It's very alt-rock and stuff like that. How do you combine the dance element with your music?
I think we've thought about that more with our new songs, trying to make them feel like what it feels like to be at a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we first started doing that with Rafters and Varnish. Just because, yeah, we just love people dancing and it being sweaty and warm, and so we wanted our songs to have that feeling.
A good show. A good show where you surrender with a capital S.
Yeah.
And the music has a lot to do with that, too. So we'll do our best in the studio to make sure that whatever comes out will shake the booty.
Yeah. Also, a lot of people think you can't dance to punk music, but you can dance to punk music. Mm. It's not that hard.
You can dance to Red Output!
So do we have, like, dates for the album or anything in the pipeline?
There will be a song out this year, by the end of this calendar year. And then a bigger project in 2026.
That's a good outline to have. And are you guys going on tour or anything? Any Kingston plans?
No, Kingston would be cool to play in.
Yeah.
We've never played in Kingston.
And where otherwise can Kingston and other people find you guys?
Well, you can see us on the old Spotify and Apple Music, for example, and we also got lots of stuff on Instagram. And if you want to know what it's like to hear us play live but you can't come to a show, on YouTube we got videos of us playing live, and those are pretty sick.
Well, I love the idea of, like, dance punk. I love your t-shirt, the Courting shirt that you're wearing.
Love Courting.
And all I can say is people should go check you guys out. But what's one song that we should go out with from this interview that people should definitely listen to?
Rafters for sure.
Yeah.
Rafters.
Tell me about
it. Rafters faux show. Rafters will get your booty moving, but not like Mud with Burst, so look out for that one.
Yeah.
Shout out Courting. Shout out In Your Walls. Shout out Rue.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sickly sweet hypocrisy. When I take a sip, I destroy my writhing insides. And hoping you're there, and hoping you're scared, and hoping you're waiting. Handcuffed in gold, I'm so far from escaping. My palms are cut. Without a frame of mind. And I lose my touch on the glass, running holes that I'm trying to grip. And never get back what I'm putting in. But you slide away and everything's foggy or coated in gloom. I'm neck deep and sinking, wrapped around you with a light ever here. My fragmented mind. Thank you.
listening to CFRC Radio.
Red Output there with their song Rafters. Welcome back to the show, folks. You're listening to CFRC Radio. That was the Kitchener Bass Band that was headlining the Horseshoe Tavern on Wednesday night. We also had music on that first set from Nadia Shake. Coming up next, we'll be joined on the show by a band who played just before Red Output, who they were talking about. They're called the Young Scones. They're from Scarborough in Ontario, not in Yorkshire. But some members of the band are in fact from areas somewhat close to Yorkshire. So we met Gary McGuinness, a singer and guitarist from Scotland, who's the frontman of the alt rock band The Young Scones, and their lead guitarist Zach, who's from Dublin, also joined us midway through the interview. And also, just an FYI, I've tried my best to, you know, edit everything here, but in case I've missed anything, I'm putting a content warning on this. There might be language. We were live in a dressing room at a live show, so, you know, all of that stuff, just look out for it if you have a problem with it. But you can find The Young Scones at theyoungscones.bandcamp.com. And I'm also going to throw in some music from a Toronto-based pop band called New Friends, who are all friends of this station. They called in to chat to us when they came to play the Broom Factory in Kingston way back in September 2023. I remember that being the first show to kick off the fall semester that year. They were great fun, but if you haven't seen them in a while or since then, as I hadn't, their stage act has really improved even from there. I mean, they were good before. They've got bundles of confidence and stage presence. They really involve the audience, and they have an interval act now that is very theatrical. And I also have to shout out their singer Stefan's piano playing skills. I mean, he is mostly on stage with his mic, but he is a really, really good pianist and it comes out live. So go see them live. I'm throwing back to a New Friends classic. This is called Sad Sugar. You can find them at New Friends Music. Let's hear it right now.
Another dive bar, we start talking away. She's such a fast car, black star, something to chase. A couple bad scars, broke cards, finding our way. Yeah, it's cool, I get you. Now it's last call, I feel like I've been here for days. I want your lip gloss, rosé, stain on my face. Every teardrop builds up and every mistake is just a reason to wanna taste of sad sugar. Hazel eyes, they mesmerize, but I saw them coming. Oh no, don't you think it's getting too late? Clean up my conscience, sweeten up my lemonade. Cause every teardrop in my cup still tastes bitter. I'm in the mood for a little sad sugar.
CFRC Radio, and we're here backstage with Gary at the Horseshoe Tavern. Gary, tell us a little bit about your band.
My band's called The Young Scones. We are based in Toronto, and we've been going for about 3 years. It's like psychedelic, indie, rock, you know, it's quite eclectic. And we play a lot of shows. We play gigs all over Toronto, and sometimes we go out of town when we're lucky, but mainly we stay within the city walls.
How far have you gone with the band?
Not very far. Like Muskoka, Hamilton, where else have we played? Kind of like Oshawa, stuff like that. It's just on the tippy toe of Toronto.
Just stepping outside.
Just getting outside. My one of my dreams is to play Montreal one day. Hopefully we get to do that sometime soon.
Yeah.
It's on the cards, I think.
Just the full Ontario to Montreal tour.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, we're pretty ambitious.
Although you guys as a come from quite far and wide, don't you? Like, I was reading a little tale about how the band kind of met in New Zealand.
Yeah, that was me and the original bass player. She was my girlfriend at the time, Marion. We met in New Zealand, and then we moved to Toronto after it eventually, and we started a band, and then got new members or recruited like a drummer and a guitar player. But since that was like 3 and a bit years ago, and since that time the band's had like many phases. I'm the only original member now, so it's just like we've lost people, we've brought people, we've lost people again. And, you know, obviously I'm the problem, you know, because people just come in and just leaving me eventually, so.
So it's now Gary and the band.
Yes, yeah.
So, like, who is the lineup right now, and what was the moment you guys felt that the band clicked, this was the lineup?
Well, the lineup right now is myself on guitar and vocals, Zach on guitar, lead guitar and rhythm guitar, Marcelo on drums, and recently Ben on the bass. Ben just joined the band like 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay, so first show with them?
First show was at the Dundas West Festival last week.
Okay, I was literally there.
Yeah, we played outside the Full of Beans Cafe, the coffee shop.
Okay.
We played outside there on a Saturday. So that was Ben's first show, so we kind of threw him in the deep end.
Yeah, wow.
But he did great, you know. So, like, the current lineup, like, bar Ben right now, because he's just joined, is like me, Marcelo and Zach, and we had Brian beforehand who bass, and that was like a solid year we played for together, and it was really good, probably the best that we'd sounded in terms of musicianship, in terms of writing and releasing stuff and whatnot. So it was a really exciting time. We played a lot of good shows within Toronto and sold out some kind of stuff, so it was really going well. And with Brian leaving the band, it's kind of left. They say when one door closes, another one opens. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to having Ben in the band and having him get the grips with it. We've had to like throw a lot of songs at him, so I feel kind of bad for him because he's had to hit the ground running, and he has done. But I just feel that way when it's like, yeah, okay, can you join the band? Yeah, okay, here's all these songs. Yeah, okay, we've got Dundas West Festival next week, and then Horseshoe, and then this, and then all stuff coming up. So that's kind of how it goes in the band, because there's we play at the minimum 3 gigs a month, maybe more, sometimes more.
Yeah.
So it takes its toll on my voice. Like my voice, the way I sing, and I'm actually in the process of trying to change the way I sing, because it's no longer sustainable the way I do it. That kind of raw, gritty vocals,
yeah.
I think I'm just not doing it properly. And
you find ways to like preserve your voice while keeping the
I need to figure it out, but that was the one kind of drawback that I've noticed with doing all these shows, because everyone says, oh, just do it once a month, which would be great, like that would be great for my voice. But I'm like, I'm itching to play. I feel weird now when I've got a weekend without any shows, and people are texting me saying, were you playing this weekend? And I'm like, no, I'm not doing anything this weekend. Like,
sadly, no.
Yeah, and I'm just like sat in my house like fucking scratching myself like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, you guys clearly have, like, that drive to play stuff.
I certainly do. In my head, I'm like, that's how a band gets tight. That's how you get proper tight. Mm-hmm. Like, rehearsing's one thing. Rehearsing's great. Mm-hmm. Rehearse as much as possible, for sure.
Yeah.
But you have to be out there playing, like, you know, like, sinking your teeth into it and, you know, getting your stripes. So you can't just, like, dilly-dally about, oh, we'll do one show every 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, fuck that. I need to be playing all the time just to figure stuff out. That's technically how I write songs now as well. Like, I'm not just going to sit there with a pad and pen, like, oh, the song's written now. It's like, I have this idea for a song, I'll take it to the band, and then over time, after playing it live, there's 2 songs we're playing tonight, but there's no lyrics written down for it. The lyrics aren't written down, there are no lyrics for it.
You're just going to wing it.
Well, every time I rehearse it, I just like, I have a kind of idea of how the song's going to go and have the melody written, but I don't know what I'm going to say. And then eventually, over like 3 or 4 gigs, then eventually I'm like, okay, now I'm ready to sit down and write this.
Yeah.
So then it's been like more developed in my head, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, I can't do it like a contrived way where it's just sitting down and force yourself to write it. Otherwise, it comes out shit.
Yeah,
for me, the best, like, to write the best song, lyric, lyrically would be that method I just said there. It's a really weird one, but...
Well, and also I know that a lot of bands have, like, those songs that... what they say is they came together quicker than it takes to say them.
Yeah. Right?
And those are the ones that...
Yes, there's a couple...
Those are the best songs.
There's so many different, like, ways of doing it, and there's no right or wrong way. I'm finding this method works for me because I'm liking what comes out of that method. But for sure, sometimes you're just sat in the room and it just hits you like a... But I heard like an expression. I don't know if it was like the Beatles said it or something, or Paul McCartney. It was like, if you're like writing a song like with a band or whatever, and then the idea comes to you, make sure you finish it in that session.
Yeah.
Don't like, oh, we'll come back to it. Because
yeah,
you'll never... It never happens, because when you try to come back to it, you're in a different sort of energy or whatever, and it's not... And if it doesn't, it falters. It doesn't work that way either. So yeah, it's a weird process to write music, and everyone's got their own way of doing it.
Yeah, for sure. But let's talk about the music that you've written, because I was listening to you've put out two albums.
Yes.
At this point, one a couple of years ago, 2023, and your latest one last year, right?
Yeah, March 17th came out.
Mm-hmm.
Skonism, it was called.
First of all, great album.
Oh,
name,
thank you.
Right.
Cheers.
I mean, for a band called Young Scones to have an album called Sconism, of course, you're setting your own like way of doing things.
Right.
It's the next thing behind, I feel, a self-titled album. Like you're putting out the philosophy of Sconism.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too... It's really tongue-in-cheek. It's very tongue-in-cheek. Called it Sconism because there was a few songs on it that were like had the theme of religion. And like the theme of rejecting religion, because I'm brought up Catholic. I'm a Irish Catholic, and yeah, it was more about the rejection of like conventional religions on some of the songs. And then we just called it Scotism because it was just kind of sounded funny, you know, like. And yeah, like when people used to ask us like what kind of genre is it you play, and we'd always say, oh, it's like alternative, blah blah. Eventually, we just started saying it was sconer rock, because that's it was a bit of a joke. So like the album was either going to be called Sconer Rock or Sconism, and because of the religious thing, I was like, you know what, like just call it Sconism.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely don't take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah.
And maybe that's to our detriment.
Right?
I know. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I know. I hate bands that take themselves too seriously, but like I think there was a fine balance. I'm thinking maybe if we take ourselves like a fraction more seriously, maybe people will take us more seriously as well. I don't know.
Well, as long as people have a good and fun time.
Right.
But first of all, what a crowd to be playing to today, because
oh, yeah,
we're here at the Horseshoe.
It's jumping, eh? It's
legendary
great
venue. We can feel the floor,
I know,
the
it's
ceiling
like
moving
coming
down. And the lights going on and off whenever the drums go too hard. But like, what's it like for the band to be at a venue this iconic?
Oh my god, like I remember when me and Marion, like the we started a band together.
Yeah.
We were walking down the street and we'd seen a few gigs at Horseshoe, and we said to ourselves like, oh, maybe one day we'll get to play there. You know, we're just starting out. We were terrible. We sounded like shit, you know. And I was like, oh yeah, that'd be the dream. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it is a genuine dream come true for me. And Marion got to do it. Marion played one show at Horseshoe, so we did do it. It was the next year, like she played it just before she left. So that was, I'm happy that she got to do that as well. But yeah, for me as well, like it's now like third or fourth time playing here, and like it's not really like kicked in. Oh, and now
sinking after the show.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the first time was like really nerve wracking.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like I'm like feel confident for it, you know.
Yeah.
But still like so happy, like and excited to even have that opportunity.
So how do you mentally prepare for a gig like this? Like, what are you expecting people to do today, and what do you want to give them today?
Just going to do what we usually do, to be honest. Like, have a couple of, like, shots of tequila or a couple of rums of coke just to, like, get a bit of Dutch courage.
Yeah.
Feel at ease and a bit loose. And then just do what we usually do, to be honest. Like, it's just par for the course now.
And I also just want to talk a little bit about the music on your album, because I was listening to it before. Lots of, like, great harmonies, lots of elaborate work. How do you bring that out live?
Yeah, it's hard to do it live, to be honest. Like, because when we're in the studio, it's like we do the little sort of Beatles thing,
yeah,
harmonies and nothing.
Oh, I heard those Beatles harmonies.
Yeah, yeah. So that's always fun to do. We're not going to do it. We can't do that. We can't do it live, unfortunately.
Ah,
it's too much effort. Like
the
way that we
it's
do it.
It's the studio experience.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate. Maybe like if we get enough people on board, we did do it for the album release show. We had a couple of our friends doing backing vocals, but yeah, no, it's just going to be me, unfortunately. I think like some of the guys do it, but they don't really. It can be hit or miss, I think. It's not really, like, calculated. It's more about, like, the visceral sort of thing they do.
Mm-hmm.
But
we'll have the Young Scones choir one day.
One day? Potentially. You never know.
A bit of Beach Boys in there as well, maybe?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Asking, of course, because you heard
Brian
the news.
Brian Wilson just died today.
Yeah, you heard the news today.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah. So what's coming on for you guys after this? Like, you've just released the album. Are there tour plans, any such thing?
No tour. We're doing Rivoli next month. We're doing like a double show. We're playing the Rivoli in July, and then that night we're going to do the after party in Drom and do a second set in Drom to Berna.
Uh-huh.
Doing two sets in the same night, and that's our big thing for July. Like, we're not going to play any more shows
what's
in July.
The
18th of July.
18th, okay.
And we're going to do two different sets, so we're trying to like do like a sort of cover set right now. Well, this is Zach, by the way. This is our guitar player. He's from Dublin.
Feel free to join.
Yeah, come and join Zach. She's asking about Rivoli.
Oh my goodness.
We've now got two of the band here joining us.
So, yeah, we're...
Hello.
The idea is to do two separate sets in the same night, and the Drom one will be more covers. So try to learn some more covers. We're trying to think of what are good covers to play to those freaks at Drom. Like, the set's at 2:30 in the morning,
and
we've played a set at Rivoli the midnight before. So we tried to preserve the vocals.
Yeah. We've done it before,
but it didn't land that well. We did a double set one time, and it was fucking ridiculous. It was remember that?
We played. Where was it?
We played Tapestry, and then we played our mate's basement.
Yeah, and he had turned all the lights off except for one little strobe.
He had like people serving drinks with like what chained around their neck, and they were chained to the ceiling.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it was a bit nuts.
S&M sort of thing. It was fun though.
Well, it's hard to take yourself seriously in a place like that.
I know. I was just talking about how we don't take ourselves that seriously.
Never. Yeah.
Well, so what's one song that people should listen to begin with listening to you guys?
I think the one that everyone goes talks about is Bone. Okay. It's the one that's most accessible, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Perhaps. You like Perhaps, eh? Nice.
Yeah. Nice. That's another fun one. Yeah, that's a really fun one. I think Bone is a good gateway into the band, and then
Breacher,
and then
Breacher.
Like there's two full length albums, LPs.
Yeah, should listen to them.
Yeah, Gorilla Tapes, and then Sconism, and then there's like two very distinct sounds. I think it got a little bit more intense with Sconism. Different flavors, different songs. I would start with Bone.
But, and one last question for you guys. So you've had a few lineup changes. You're in evolution. What do you see is coming next for the band musically, sonically?
Working on a new album again. Mm-hmm. We've got like a big bunch of collection of songs that we're working on right now, and I feel like it's getting a bit more dynamic, different changes and whatnot, and trying not to go to route one with it, which I think we've been doing for a little while. But I think just try to write better songs, you know. Just get better as a band, write better songs, and still enjoy it. We're still so passionate about it, so that's really the main thing.
Clearly.
And it's just like it's our life, and we're all best friends and all that, so it's just like so much fun to do this with your best friends and get to play some cool venues as well at the same time. So third album is in the works. It's probably going to be a wee while before it comes to fruition, because we actually want to do it. We want to spend a bit of money on it as well, so we're going to save up some cash. Yeah, do it a bit more, like you know, a bit more professionally. So yeah, we'll see. But we're definitely going to record some more music soon. We've got a few songs that we're quite excited about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And where can people keep up with you guys and find your music? Names, handles.
Yeah, just the Young Scones. Mm-hmm. The Young Scones.
YouTube as well. We're gonna. We did our first music video there not too long ago, and then we have a couple more that we've been brainstorming. So. Yeah, there's going to be new, interesting videos.
Love
whatever
it.
Your media of choice is, But mainly Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll keep up with you guys there. We'll go out with both. Young Scones, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
I quietly
were some Young Scones there, folks. Young Scones and New Friends on the last set. Two artists that we met at North by Northeast. And keeping up the North by coverage, I'm going to quickly go to my highlight from the whole festival. It's an artist called Active Mirror. They're from Aruba in the Caribbean. They love 80s post-punk music, The Cure, The Smiths, Bauhaus, and it really comes through in their songs, in their lyrical work, their stage movements and everything. Their singer was dressed, dare I say, a little goth as well. You know, I think he had a priest shirt on too, and he was really committed to the bit. We saw them on Thursday at the Baby G, and by Friday, they were the talk of the festival. I caught up with them for a quick interview just before the show, and we're going to be listening to it right now. So we're here, I'm Rue, you're listening to CFRC Radio, we're here outside the Baby G, and Active Mirror are joining me. Hello guys, let's have you introduce yourselves first up.
Hi, I just graduated, my name is Eli, I am the bassist for Active Mirror.
My name is Mishak, I am the guitarist for Active Mirror. Uh-huh.
My name is Liam Kelly, I'm the singer for Active Mirror.
And I'm Marco, I'm the drummer for Active Mirror.
How long have you guys been playing music together? Because you have a pretty interesting origin story going back, I think, a few years now, right? So you say that you're a rock band from a rock, alt, post-punk band from Aruba. Yeah. And you also say that that's the least interesting thing about you. So let us get to know you.
We've been playing together for about 3 years now. We met while I was in another band with Marco, our mm-hmm. drummer, and Mishak was in another band with Elias in... our bassist in another band. So we sort of like had an affair and we formed together. And I think the thing that about the least interesting thing, I think our manager just wrote something funny because we're from Aruba and everybody always asked about, you know, either where is that or I can't believe you're from there or, you know, anything that has to do with our country. And I think we put like it's the least interesting thing about us because I think our music is also quite interesting than just the identity of being somewhere, you know, like from Aruba. But I think that was the joke. Sorry if it causes any confusion.
No, but do you feel like it influences your music or how you write at all?
For me, yes. I think from where I am, from where I'm from, it influences my writing and it makes me write a lot because there's not a lot to do. And it's not that I hate where I'm from. This isn't like a Midwestern emo song, but it's more like in the sense of there's just not a lot to do. It's a place where there's 100,000 people. It feels like a small town. It's 30 kilometers wide. You know, you can drive it in a day. You can walk it in a day probably too. And with that being said, it's as if there's just a constant state of cabin fever, which is a song that we have. Yeah, but yeah, and I guess you invent stories when there's nothing to do, you know, or you gossip, you know, so we chose to invent stories and write songs.
But you know what I find in your songs, just listening to them as I was coming up here today, is that you really have that post-punk vibe, that kind of new romantic kind of sound and thing to you, where the songs are a bit melancholy, a little bit romantic, quite optimistic in some cases as well. So do you take a lot from that like 80s kind of sound?
Yes. Especially the late 70s mm-hmm. with like you have Gang of Four, you have Joy Division, but then you also have like Bauhaus. That's where I my lyricism comes from, that sort of area where mm-hmm. they're big topics of discussion, but you know you compact it and it's very elusive at times. But also from the Smiths and jangle pop of the 80s and I don't know, Mishak likes Duran Duran from what I hear.
I think everyone has like different influences when it comes to the music, especially us, you know. I was very hard-headed for the first like 12 years, you know. I used to listen to a lot of reggae. Mm-hmm. And then I accidentally clicked a Black Sabbath music video, and then I started there, and I was metalhead, and then I met Liam, and then he was like, check out Joy Division. And then that's where it started, you know, got into Joy Division, into Cocteau Twins, Depeche Mode, everything, you know. Mm-hmm. So it didn't take too long for me to, you know, use all that and just kind of cultivate a sound with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think our music is really a mix of all those different influences that we have, you know.
That's very interesting because you have like a very deep bank of different kinds of music knowledge to draw from, then a bit of reggae or a bit of metal and a bit of like kind of 80s post-punk as well.
Oh, and if I may, I think a band that really made us want to be a band was Block Party. Yeah. It was Block Party, Block Interpol, Party, and that resurgence of the post-punk garage rock sound. Garage rock. So, I mean, they had the same influences that we sort of have, but they influenced us. Mm-hmm. So it was like Block Party, man.
Block Party, for sure.
Silent Alarm. If it wasn't
for that album, I don't think it would have been like we would have just grouped together just like that, because we
huge inspiration.
I don't remember who was listening to that album at the time. I think it was Liam. And then like he was like, yeah, we all just started listening together, and then we kind of started making our own music, kind of modeled after that, and just kind of went from there. Mm-hmm.
And how were those first shows received, like when you started playing music around? And there's clearly a story there.
The first shows on Aruba as a band, I think we were playing for two bartenders and one attendee. And he kept on shouting had to play different stuff, I think. But he was also very supportive at the end. But that was our first show. Mm-hmm. And I think there. That's my father in the car. Sorry, he's bothering me. But So like I said, the first shows were very interesting, to say the least, because I don't think people got it immediately. Mm-hmm. But I think little by little, people just started showing up, and then they started dressing in black, and you know, you have the people in eyeliner, Doc Martens, and all that stuff. So I mean, it felt like, oh my god. We're doing something, and people are receiving it well, you know, especially younger people. And
you brought the goth back to Aruba.
Yes.
Yeah, you could say so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think, like you said, it was a really gradual thing, you know. The more time spent making more songs, the more we developed our music style, and, you know, we kind of started attracting a certain crowd, so it's definitely...
And I wouldn't say, you know, I wouldn't say goth, but you know, I'm just kidding.
Sure.
Andrew Eldritch.
Well, I mean,
it's rock and roll.
It's rock and roll.
Dog, it's like, it's a funny thing. Like, no one says they're goth, you know. No one says this, but I'm just happy that it's also just expression. I'm happy that we could have contributed to some form of expression that was, you know, of worth on from where we're from, and now we get to play here.
Yeah,
you know?
All over the world.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. I also want to ask about what your live experience has evolved into, because like you've been at it for a little while, a few years, right? And you've been playing, your crowds have been evolving with you. What is an Active Mirror show like these days?
It's more theatrical, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like, since we're more comfortable playing the songs, you know, we play with it, you know, so that's like we're already rehearsed. There's not a lot of original songs. I mean, we do have a lot that, you know, we are currently writing on, but the ones that we do perform, you know, we performed it like countless amount of times, so now we just add drama and gravitas to it, you know, and it's just very theater, you know. So
love bringing theater into your music. And I also want to talk about your debut album, because first up, congratulations, first album and everything. It's always a big deal to release those. It came out this January, Though the Night Is Not Over. Tell me a bit about it. Like, we were talking about theater and drama. The title already has quite a lot of drama. It's got this unfinished sentence. What's going on there?
Though the Night Is Not Over. It's a lyric from Vampira. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it was something that popped into my head when we were working on the song that was also unfinished at the time. And, you know, though the night is not over, you can take the night out of me. That's the completed sentence, you know. But I feel as though, for me, the album describes someone's childhood that has affected them so deeply that they have, you know, spiraled into their own life, and they can't seem to make the right decisions. You know, most of the songs are quite self-destructive if you, you know, take away some of the shine, you know. And the last song of the album is that declaration, you know. It finalizes and it completes that message, you know, where this is what you made,
encompasses.
So this is what you made me is whether it be the abuse or just misunderstanding or whatever it is that this person went through, you know, he is, it's not a happy ending. He's just saying, or he or she or they, they're saying just, this is who I am now, and I'm going to have to live with that. And I think that's why it's probably the most powerful song on the album. It's, you know.
But it's a cathartic outlet.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
And one standout song on your album is Opal, very smitsy, quite jangle pop. Yeah, love whatever is going on there. Tell me a bit about that song.
Oh my God, that song! I have such a love hate with that one. It was supposed to be romantic, but you know, we also needed a single. Yeah. But it was basically one of those stories, you know, and. I'm not very connected to it, but then I noticed people, they mentioned Opal. Yeah, Opal's very nice. And I was like, oh my God, but it's so like against like what the album is, you know? So, but then I saw it, I gave it some time, and I grew to appreciate it because it's sort of like that one shining light that's in the dark when you're in this dark seas and you see, mm-hmm. a guiding light.
Yeah, pockets of light and shade. Yeah. You need that.
Yeah, right? Yeah, you know, to contrast, of course.
Mm. For sure.
Yeah, the silver lining of the album. That's a lovely way of putting it. So, is this your first time playing in Canada and Toronto?
In Toronto, yeah, for sure. We did, like, we went to Ottawa, like, about 2 years ago, right? I think we were, like, together for, like, 5 months by that point. And I think we had, like, about 3 original songs or 4. And, you know, it was just kind of to, like, just feel, you know, see how it is to kind of play away from Aruba. And it wasn't the greatest experience, I'm not going to lie.
It was a humbling experience.
It was really humbling. And then, you know, so I'm excited that we get to actually do this properly this time in Toronto. You know, so, I think we came a long way.
Yeah. So. You guys have been here for a few days. How's the city been treating you?
Amazing. It's been great.
Very
far too, like, yeah. It's kind of like... It's, what do you say? Culture shock? Yeah. Culture shock for sure. I'm like, what? Like, you know, people say hi, and I'm like, to me? You know? Like, so it's very different here, and I'm really enjoying it so far. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I heard you guys also went on a little studio experience recently. Yeah. Can you tell us about that?
Metalworks. So basically, we were the artist in residency at Metalworks, which is like a school for engineering and music mixing and production. And we got to work on a unreleased song that, you know, we had to just record live off the floor.
Yeah.
And the students helped us with the engineering and the setup and the miking techniques and everything. And it was basically recording a song in one day and see how the mix turns out. Or we get the raw tracks and then we would have to choose the best mix of all the students at the school, and that winner gets to work with us for a day or something like that. And it was pretty nice because we got to see a lot of gear that we have only theorized about, that we've only seen in pictures, that we we saw a console from the 60s, you know, it's crazy.
Yes, unbelievable. Unbelievable experience for sure.
It's a learning experience for sure. So that's going to be coming up in a little while, but before that, you're also, so this show is going out on Sunday, and before that, you're going to be playing 2 North by Northeast shows as well. One, we're here at the Baby G, and there's one really late night one coming up as well on Saturday. How, like, are you guys late night people?
Yeah.
I remember one time we used to play like 3-hour gigs, and they started usually really late at night. So I remember one time we were late. I think it started at 11:30. I think I got home at 4 in the morning.
Wow.
So yes, we're very much late people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like to party.
You'll be just fine on Saturday night then. It's only midnight.
I don't mind
a party. I like we're trying to cut back on that, but
Oh, have you guys happened to see any bands or any music around here while you were here?
We went yesterday to Garrison? Garrison. And you know, it's been
Harmonies.
Yeah. They were talented, quite an interesting band. I'm like, wow. Like, you know, and the thing is, yeah, we're just not used to seeing that type of music or anything down in Aruba. So everything is kind of like, whoa, this exists.
Yeah, even the band playing now.
Yeah, Vic and Ramones is also blown away, really.
Yeah.
So,
amazing, right?
It's a great festival for things like that. Have you, in your own Aruba music community, have you seen like more bands following your footsteps or kind of citing you as a source of inspiration?
Slowly, yeah, slowly it's happening, you know, a little bit. It's like little bands and stuff. Like we just had like a battle of the bands like about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's quite a few... You know, like, bands are like, oh, that's interesting. Even people that, you know, we know, and we didn't know that they played any instruments. Yeah. You know, they're just kind of, oh, I didn't know you. So it's, I hope that they'll start making more bands and doing more original music in there. So
that's fantastic. Shout out. What's next for, what's next for you guys?
What's next for us?
Yeah. We want to continue doing live shows, and we want to just start recording music again. I guess get to like the blueprint work of album 2 or maybe an EP, you know, and take it to a different direction this time. Yeah. Maybe lean into the darkness a bit more. That's my mom.
Love that. But what's in the Active Mirror calendar?
What is in the Active Mirror calendar?
We have the Baby G right now.
Sorry, the nerves are just getting to me. Yeah. I'm flushed. I'm just trying to keep up with your interview so badly right now.
Well, let's let people find you guys later on and follow up on that. Where can they find you online? Like, where's your music? What are your socials?
Instagram.
I mean, Instagram. We're on Facebook. And yeah, just mainly Instagram and Facebook. I think we have a TikTok account, but it's not really that active. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the idea. But yeah, and you know, we have a website as well, activemirror.band. And yeah, I think, oh, and you can find our music on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Music and a bunch of other stuff that can't come to mind right now, but you know,
all the usual ones. Yeah. Well, we're gonna go out from this interview with one song. Which of your songs would you want people to hear as the first and only song they hear that'll get them into your music?
You know, for me, if it's for me, I would say Serendipitous is a good introduction to Active Mirror. So yeah, that's for me.
Just go for the gut. This is what you made me.
Okay.
But it is more cathartic with the whole album. But to me, just go for it. Just go for it.
So start with that. Listen to the whole album. Well, guys, have a great show tonight. Thanks so much for taking the time and joining me today.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate your time.
That was the mighty Active Mirror, one of my highlights from the festival. Fantastic post-punk band from Aruba who played two nights at North by Northeast, one on the Thursday and then another headline set on Saturday night, which I heard went down really well. So hopefully we'll see them in Canada soon. We've now got a band from Trois-Rivières in Quebec, an alt-rock band joining us called Absolite. They played at Duffy's Tavern on Friday night. Tiny stage, not much bigger than the Toucan. They absolutely blew it apart. They had like these flashing lights that added to the theatricality of it all. Their singer Olivier had a broken arm, but you know, they still went all over the place. I had a blast, so I asked them to jump on for a quick chat. You can find them at absolitemusic.com. Here they are. Okay, we're backstage at Duffy's Tavern out for North by Northeast, and I'm joined by Absolite. Hello, guys.
Hi.
Hey, how are you? Hey, how are you?
We're catching you guys just in the aftermath of your show. You were crazy out there, you know, like you were going for it, going hard, even at this hour, and your stage presence was totally crazy. You were really into your performance. So how are you feeling like post-show?
Feeling great. I mean, we gave it all we could. That's what we like to do. I mean, we had a 40-minute set to deliver, and that's what we like to do, like bringing this energy from ourselves and giving it to the crowd. That's what we do, and we enjoy
show, it. Just like if it was the last show, giving everything to the crowd.
Yeah.
Because we want them to remember us because the energy and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, we came all this way, and we feel like it's just... We feel good about ourselves when we give everything we have, and so that's what we like to do, and so
share the energy with the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And you guys have come down all the way from Trois-Rivières.